Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, God's peace and grace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus the Christ. As promised, today we begin a four-part sermon series on God's will for you. Yes, today and for the next three Sundays, I will be teaching and addressing this topic, God's will for you and for me. So I highly recommend that you be here for all four parts of this series. And I, as you come, I also invite you to bring a friend or two, because they might just be interested in learning about God's will for them as well. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered or have you ever asked the question as to, what is God's will for me? What is God's will for you? I know I have asked the question several times over, and I suspect that I am not alone in wondering and asking this question. For I am sure that a great deal of people across the globe have asked about God's will for them. Yes, Christian people of all ages and of all sizes, believers of every race and tongue, God-fearing, believing, Jesus-believing people, Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, church-going folks, they all, I'm sure, have asked the question, what is God's will for me? Now, if they've not asked the question, if they've not wondered as to what God's will for them is, many of them have also been told. Many of them have been counseled, have been advised, have been told to seek God's will for your life, especially when you're facing and dealing with a major decision like a career choice, or whether you should relocate to one town to another or one state from another, or if you should propose and marry the person that you've fallen in love with, or even if you should get married at all. These are questions that cause people to ask, what is the will of God for me? Yes, many Christians have indeed been counseled and been advised and been encouraged to look and to seek for ways in which God is directing them toward God's will. But sadly, such advice and such counsel oftentimes become a burden for Christians. To tell Christians, go seek God's will, go discover God's will, that is oftentimes burdensome. In fact, it should never be. I have met and I have known many brothers and sisters in Christ who've lost sleep at night, who've lost friendships and fortunes over their quest to seek and to find out God's will for their lives. Now, as Christian believers, we pray in the prayer that our Lord taught us, asking, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as Lutheran-flavored Christians that we are, we recall and we know from Luther's Small Catechism that the good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. In other words, God's will is going to be done whether we pray for it or not. But Luther goes on and says, but we pray in this petition, in this prayer, that it may be done among us also. In other words, because we are so confident that God will carry out His good and gracious will. After all, He is God. He's a sovereign God. He does what needs to be done without your permission. And as our God, we trust. We trust Him. We have faith that He controls the course of history. From the very moment when God commanded light to shine out of darkness, and from the moment when He ordered order out of chaos, that moment to the day when the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven, shining His marvelous light, which is His Son, Jesus Christ, and bringing forth a new day, a new way, a new earth where He will live among us for eternity. Yes, when we pray, "Thy will be done," we're not giving God permission to let His will happen. God's will come, will happen, with or without your prayer. Now, the more difficult issue for many Christians arises when we begin to think about specific matters in our own lives. Again, as Christians, many of us certainly believe that God has a will for each and every one of us. He has a plan for us, and we want His will to be done in our lives, and we want to do His will in our lives. But in the Christianity that has been shaped by American evangelicalism, and I'm not putting down evangelicals, I'm just saying in the age of what is known as the American evangelicalism, there is often this belief that God has a specific will for our lives and that it is our responsibility to seek it, to discover it. That's the American evangelicalism that's been propagated near and far. That it is our responsibility to find out, to seek out, to discover what God's will is. You can imagine the maddening of this concept when someone couldn't figure out what God's will is for them. The sense of failure that someone feels when they can't put their finger on what God's will is for them by this sense of Christianity. As I said before, specific life decisions like, should I choose a different career? That we seek somehow God's will to answer that question. Or should I change jobs? Should I move to a different place? Should I marry this person? Incidentally, I find it interesting that every now and then you have some of these hyper-spiritual God-talking people. You know what I mean? Those people who every other word is about God. And God said this to me. God said this to me. God led me to do this. Those are wonderful people, but you know who I'm talking about. Well, some of them even got to say, a guy comes up to a girl and says, "Well, God told me that you're going to be my wife." Expecting the woman to have nothing to say, but okay. I often counsel the woman, "Well, tell them back, until God says the same thing to me, we're not getting married." There are people who seek out indeed the very will of God for their lives and look for all the opportunities to discern them. You see, the problem, though, is that in seeking, in trying to discover and discern God's will for us, it's works. It's something that we must work on, something that we must do to discover God's will for us. And that is a no-no. Well, but then the question is, what then should we do? Well, we often turn to intense prayer and reflection as we look for something inside us that will tell us that it is the right decision, that it is the will of God. Or sometimes we look for external events and external signs that we believe God is using to help us make the right decision to discern and to confirm that this is God's will. And why do we do this? Well, because there's a fear in us. There's fear within us that somehow we may make the wrong decision and therefore fail to do God's will. That is all based on what we do. That's works. It is based on the notion that if we just pray hard enough, we will get a sense of a direction or the peace of mind that God will offer us. If we look hard enough at the signs around us that God somehow provides, that we will discover the guiding light and the confirmation of God's will being done in our lives. I also know great many brothers and sisters in Christ who say something like this: well, you know, I struggled over this and I prayed on it and I felt peace, and that means it was the will of God. Is it? Is that how you know what God's will is for you? By feeling good about what you prayed for? But here's the bad news with this brand of American evangelicalism. The bad news is that since it is all based on what we do, it is a matter of the law. And the law doesn't bring peace or certainty. Certainly does not bring life. Instead, it brings the question of whether we have prayed hard enough. It certainly brings the question whether we feel strong in us. Do we have enough emotion to evoke God's clarity of our vision, of His will? The law forces us to ask the question whether we've read the signs correctly. See, the law is about doing. It's about works. So it constantly demands us to do more. There is never enough. So where and how can we know for certain what God's will is for us? Well, again, as Lutheran-flavored Christians that we are, we know that God reveals His will in one place and in one place only: in His Word. That's why, here at Our Savior's, I encourage you, when we read Scripture, to pick up the Bibles, either the one you brought with you or the one in the pews. Now, I'm not knocking what other churches do by providing little inserts where the Scriptures are written. That's fine. But in this church, we get the Word from the Word, from the book, from the Bible. So bring your own Bible or use the one in the pew. But that's where we find God's demonstrative will for us, to us. And in His Word, God demonstrate over and over and over again, and he clearly spells out his good and gracious will for the whole world through one man, Jesus, the risen Christ. In other words, if we want to know God's will with absolute certainty, then look to Scripture. That's the only place where we will know for sure, for certainty, God's will for us. Look to Scripture, where it is written that he desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It is also in Scripture where it is written in John chapter 6 verse 40, where our risen Lord said, "This indeed will be my Father, the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." And most of all, we know the will of God by what the Apostle John wrote in his Gospel, the third chapter. Probably the most famous and well-known scripture, quoted scripture in the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Now, surely by now you know, or you have an idea as to what God's will is for you. Because John continues on and writes, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Well, friends, in case you missed it, I was going to wait until the last part of our sermon series to share with you this good news as to what God's will for you is. But I changed my mind. In case you missed it, here it is. God's will for you as his beloved sons and daughters, as the redeemed children of the Most High God, redeemed through the precious blood of his one and only Son, who was crucified and who was raised from the dead. Here is God's will for each and every one of you. His will is for you to live. To live. To live not only in this life, but certainly in the life to come, in eternity. That's God's will for his people, that they may live. As John chapter 10 verse 10 says, that they may live and have life to the fullest. That's God's will for you, to live. Now, know that you know what God's will is. The challenge for this week is for you to ponder and to discuss with those in your life, how then shall we live? What does this mean, that God's will for us is to live? How shall we live? This will be the crux of the next three Sundays' messages. So come on back. Bring a friend or two with you. And we'll be here again next Sunday, continuing on this topic of God's will for you. In the meantime, live. Live in God's gracious and good will. For that is his heart's desire, that you live and glorify him. Amen.